Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, praise team. The men of valor will be putting notes in your hand. Why are we devoting Sundays to talking about the miracles in the life of the anointed Redeemer? Why are we constantly talking about the miraculous and the supernatural? I remember when Craig Breedlove broke 400 miles an hour at the Bonneville Flats. He got a running start and was able to break 400 miles an hour. And the world thought, wow. Now then, they've got nitrous-fueled dragsters that can do 380 miles an hour from a standing start in a quarter mile. I remember when the five-minute mile was broken. A runner actually ran a mile in under 5 minutes. And then it was under 4 minutes. Pastor, how did you go from miracles to race cars and running track? Someone will do it if they see someone else do it. And someone will say, if they can do that, I can do better. You see, there's things going on around you that you don't even know. Just a few short years ago, not even three, a couple of engineers ran across some old blueprints from Tesla where he had invented an electric generator that seemingly runs on nothing, and a small one will generate 7 amps and a large one will power your entire house. It can be made for under $500. When it's complete, it'll run forever. You just grease it every few months and it'll produce enough electricity to run your all your appliances, your air conditioning, your entire house. And you say, Pastor, well, I haven't heard of it. Well, over 104,000 people heard about it, ordered the blueprints, and have built their own Tesla generator and are getting off the grid, running their houses on free electricity. Why is that happening? Because three engineers found his blueprints from where he did it. And the financial sponsor for him, who owned Chase Bank and a whole lot of other electrical generating companies, buried it and bankrupted Tesla so he could never put it on the market. But the information is out there. And if you'll go get the information, what can you do with it? I've got someone right now that is preparing to build a Tesla generator. And while I was in Mexico, they told us one of the biggest expenses of the Bible school is electricity in Mexico keeps growing up. If we could get off the grid, we could save a fortune every year. So once we have gotten one of the larger generators built, I can take it to Mexico and they can come off of the grid and have free electricity. But someone, those plans lay dormant for 70 years and no one used them. And then these engineers found the plans and thought, let's see if it'll work. So they put it together and it works. And now you can get the plans and go to Radio Shack or the Piddle Shop or some of the electronic supply houses around Austin, and for under $500, build a generator that would eradicate your electric bills for the rest of your life. Pastor, that's a miracle. Well, if you've been paying $300, $400 a month electric bills, yeah, that's a miracle. But that's the natural. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither did it enter into the heart of man what God can do. But by looking at the blueprints of what God has done, and he said, the works that I do shall you do and greater. So a group of engineers saw what Tesla did. They sat down with his plans, and what was difficult 70 years ago and very expensive to make, now you can go to Radio Shack and electronic supply houses, order it online, and make your own for under $500 and take your house off of the grid. How many more things are sitting out there waiting for someone to pick it up and put it to work? Now, I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in here. If we can read Smith Wigglesworth and we can find a half a dozen accounts of the dead being raised in one man's ministry, if we can sit down and watch A. Allen lay hands on cripples and them get up and walk, we can watch Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, the different men and women of God who walked in the miraculous and the supernatural. If we can read those blueprints, and so tonight your notes are entitled Getting in Line. Getting in line with those who have gone to the blueprint and plugged into the generator called the Spirit of Truth. How do you perform miracles, signs, and wonders? Under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit. If you do not know how the Holy Spirit operates, you could spend the rest of your life trying to invent Tesla's generator. Or you could get the plans, and I was reading after a father who bought the plans to give his kids something to do. His son is 12 years old. He built a generator and took their farm off the grid. A 12-year-old could follow a blueprint. Now, he was electrically and mechanically inclined, and he could, what he couldn't figure out himself, he'd go online and find it and do it. But at 12 years old, he's saving his family a fortune because he's following a blueprint. Your new covenant is a blueprint. I said, your new covenant is a blueprint to walk in the miraculous and the supernatural. Yeah. Now, some people spend and waste years of their life praying for God to use them, praying for God to do something through them, and they've never read the blueprint. I want to tell you something else. I could go to an electronic store and I could buy you the electric coils, the capacitors, the transducers. I could buy you all the parts and lay them on a table for you, and you would be no closer to building the generator than before I laid the parts there if you didn't see how they go together. So tonight we're talking nuts and bolts about getting in line with the Holy Spirit, because this is the year of the miraculous and the supernatural. But it will all be under the lordship of the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, or it ain't going to work. Now you can develop your style. Well, this preacher used to slap them. This preacher used to punch them. This preacher used to shake them. This one would put his hand on the back of the head and pop him on the forehead. And that's just like the parts laying on a table until you got the blueprint in you. You don't know what you're doing. Too many people think, well, I've got a call on my life. I've got a word from the Lord. I told you tonight it's possible to build a generator that will produce electricity, alternating current, that would power your house. But you're no closer to it than before I told you. Maximum life results are possible. Most believers are operating on minimum life empowerment. So I want to take you to the Word of God tonight for a few simple steps that if you'll begin to apply these, you'll begin to build the spiritual climate in you for the miraculous and the supernatural. This is a New Testament blueprint for cooperating with God so that He can flow through you and introduce His lordship through your life to other people. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Now some people stumble on this verse, but this verse says, faith cometh from hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of Christ. So apparently there is a point at which I have heard enough of the words of Christ that I can now hear the words of Christ. All of you have been in this situation where you told someone to do something, or told them how to do something, or told someone what to do. And they were still blank-faced, like they never heard you. And so you had to tell them. And sometimes you have to get loud, or if it's a child, you know, grab hold of them and say, I've been trying to tell you. Well, I didn't hear you. Now, they were standing there within earshot, but they didn't hear you. Why? Their mind was absorbed on other thoughts they were thinking, and most believers today can't hear the first, second, third, fourth time the words of Christ come to them, because they're still trying to understand it or interpolate it by what they are thinking or by what they already know. So it is written in the active continuum. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of Christ until your mind becomes saturated with what he said, to the point that what everybody else has said and everything you've thought before that moment is pushed to the background and his words come to the forefront. Step number one, I have got to start hearing with comprehension what he is saying, the way he is saying it, to achieve the purpose he wants to achieve in having said it. Hearing and hearing the new covenant truth. Well, Pastor, I've been trying to get faith out of the Old Testament. This tells you it's not possible, because it comes from hearing the word of Christ. And unless you're reading prophecy in the Old Testament, where they're prophesying of the Christ that was to come and what would happen in his life, there's no faith in it. It's law. The opposite of grace is law. The opposite of law is grace. Like oil and water, they don't mix. For the love of Christ controls us. What controls us? What is the love of Christ? You see, if you don't stop reading your New Testament, you're going to damn yourself. I said, if you don't stop reading your New Testament, you're going to damn yourself. I want you to start reading it with comprehension and meditation so you can be blessed. It's later in your notes, but I've told you before, ask yourself who's speaking. Who are they speaking to? What provoked them to say it? How does it apply to me? That's how you read it. And then you sit there and meditate it. For the love of Christ controls us. What could that possibly mean? If I am born again, I become a new creation. It was the new birth. For God so loved that he gave his son. His son was given as an expression of love. And it is that love that opened the door for my salvation, and it is my salvation that now controls us. Well, Pastor, I'm not controlled by my salvation. Have you ever started to give someone a piece of your mind and your spirit quickened you? That was him at the controls saying, turn left, not right. You see, when you receive that love gift of salvation, that love of Christ comes in you and controls you if you're sensitive. But if you override it enough, it's like being in the car and you got one of those talking GPSs. If you override it enough, pretty soon you don't even hear what it's telling you to do. Having concluded this, that one died for all. See how it comes together? What is the love of Christ? It's the love that the Father expressed in giving him, and it's the love he expressed in submitting to the lordship of the Father to give his life. That one died for all. Therefore, all died. Because just as in Adam all sinned, just as in Christ all died. All were resurrected. All became new who would believe and receive what he did for us. and he died for all, so that they who live, what does it mean, they who live? I was dead in my sins and trespasses, having received his lordship and confessed his lordship over death, hell, and the grave. Having confessed his lordship over death, hell, and the grave, what has happened? They who live, I live. Because he lives, I live. No longer live for themselves, but are living his life for him. The works that I do shall you do and greater. I'm not to live to accomplish what I want to accomplish in life, but to accomplish what he wants accomplished in life. I'm not building my kingdom, I'm building his. Sorry, I would set up higher if I had a higher chair, but you have permission to look down on me. Therefore, from now on, since the new birth, since you are receiving the love, we recognize no one according to the flesh, including the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't recognize him by what he did and what he was. You recognize him by who he is in the Word and in the Spirit. Yes, Steve, that would be a help. Thank you. If you're sure you can make it without your chair. I have been elevated. Pastor, what's going on? I've got a place out in my back, and I don't see the chiropractor until 10:30 tomorrow, and it hurts to stand up. So I can hurt standing up, or I can sit down and continue. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, including Christ. That's why you've got to read the miracles in the light of what the Holy Spirit was doing, not what a man of flesh was doing, because he did nothing without the Spirit. To teach you, you can do nothing without the Spirit, but you can do all things with the Spirit. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, there was a time where he walked among us. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. He's saying, you don't need eyewitness testimony. I was there. I saw it. Those guys are a long time dead. But the same Spirit that did the miracles inspired the word that he gave to the men who wrote it. And we can know him by getting acquainted with not what the words on the page are saying, but what the Spirit that inspired the words is saying. That's why you have to meditate. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Wait a minute. Therefore, understanding that we don't want to know things by our senses, but by the Spirit of God, if anyone is in Christ, he that's in this Christ that you know by the Spirit is a new creature. And by knowing him by the Spirit, old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. Well, Pastor, all of my old things haven't passed away. I'm still dealing with smoking, drinking, cursing, anger, gossip. Are you in process of change? You don't have to wait until everything has become new, as long as you're working on it and letting the Spirit work on you. The old man and the old ways of being and doing must be washed away. I've told you many times that when we were in the building on Northland, an opportunity came and we sent our youth pastor to the Philippines to participate in a huge rural crusade that was going on there. And during the crusade, the people who came there to participate from the U.S. in the crusade would go out daily and go hut to hut, place to place. And Kim was knocking on doors, and he stopped at a small roadside shop and began to tell the shop owner about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shop owner said, "Does he have a statue?" And he pointed to a shelf, and he said, "If he has a statue, I could put him up with the other gods." How many understand that the shop owner did not yet grasp the truth? Now, how many Christians, so-called, have grasped the truth that you can't put him on the shelf with your other gods? Career, money, fame, friends, position, promotion. He's a one-shelf God. The old man and the old ways of being and doing must be washed away by the word of your new covenant. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. God, you got to do this for me. I tithe. I give to the poor. I pray. I go to church. No. All of that is sacrilege. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Part of your salvation is not just the experience of confessing him as Lord, because no one is really born again by confessing their sins. They're born again by confessing his triumph over sin. But part of it is the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. What is regeneration? If the generator in your car goes off and you regenerate it, what do? You restore it back to manufacturer's original specifications. Whether you have to clean the armature, put in new brushes, change the bearings, whatever you have to do to regenerate it, you bring it back to original manufacturer's specifications. How is a person regenerated? They are brought back to what Adam was before he sinned. I have said it for decades, and on the chance that you were gone on all of those assemblies when I said it, Acts 1 says, you shall receive authority after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What does that mean? The same authority that Adam jettisoned when he accepted the words of Satan, the Holy Spirit plugs you right back into where Adam fell from. And you, in that moment, are returned to original manufacturer's specifications. By the washing of regeneration and making us new by the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of Truth, the author of the New Testament. It is the New Testament that brings you back to the specifications you should have in your faith, in your love, in your charity, in your relationship with God. Regeneration, rebirth, to generate a new species back to original specification. Washing, out with the old, in with the new. A clean slate, again, as the Word of Truth washes you from your old way of thinking and being and doing. Ephesians 5:26, so that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the word. Pastor Jim, is it the washing of water or the washing of the word? It is the washing of the word. You're not made clean by baptism. You're identified with the Redeemer in baptism. So it's not the water of baptism. It is the water of the Word that washes from you as you begin to read it, what you used to be and do and think, to where you now become conformed to what the Word says about the way you should be and do and think. The Word of Truth washes away the lies of deceit. This is mind renewal. God invented brainwashing. But it goes beyond the washing of the brain, because as the brain is washed, the spirit is washed. As the spirit is washed, you become empowered. This is necessary for the new life to begin to generate new power in you. Miracles, signs, and wonders flow out of the new life, not the old, and not the mixing of the new thoughts with the old man. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. What does it mean to prove what the will of God is? I prove it by doing it. We all know the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of your spiritual new life is in the doing of the new life of the Spirit. And I do that which is good and acceptable and perfect before God. Mind or thought renewal is foundational to walking in newness of life. It allows you to pursue, to perform, and to walk in the miraculous and the supernatural. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you can pray, God, make me successful and powerful. So that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Does the comparison jump at you? If by studying the law I can make my way successful and prosperous, what can I do by studying the new covenant? If there was a tiny bit of life in the law, and Paul said there's much greater life in the new covenant, if I can make my way successful and prosperous by meditating the law, what can I do by meditating grace? I can do the works that he did and greater. you make when your mind aligns, asking yourself, who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? What provoked them to say it? How does it apply to me? Well, I'm not under the law. But if they could do that under the law, then Hebrews 8:6 says, I have a better covenant with better promises that produces better results. So I can do more than they did. I don't have to stop with being successful and prosperous. I can be God's hand extended. Miracles, signs, and wonders are nourished by the good soil the Word inspires and empowers. Jude 17:20. But you, beloved, born-again children of God, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? A well-known televangelist recently said, couples should watch porn together. My husband, Pastor so-and-so, never watches porn alone. We watch it together so that we can be inspired. Another prophet spoke of the game which you saw Sunday, and he said when a certain team that lost wins again, revival will come to America. So I guess we're going to have to wait. Until the Panthers win again for revival. They're making a mockery of the things of God. Don't believe the televangelist. She's on her fourth or fifth husband, and all of them were married to someone before she arrived. If she'll steal someone's husband, she'll steal your salvation. And the last time there will be mockers, not just the world saying that speaking in tongues is silly, gibberish. Those miracles, the devil can do those. How do we know they're of God? These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded. They think like the world. They're devoid of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit comes in, you don't think like the world anymore. But you, beloved, born-again children of God, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you see the steps that were just given you? Worldly-minded people are devoid of the Spirit. Therefore, they cause and live in problems. But it said, building yourself up, you pursue and you produce the new you. How? On your most holy faith. Where does faith come from? Hearing and hearing the words of our anointed Redeemer. Step one, you've got to commit to building yourself up. Step two, what am I building myself up on? My most holy faith. So I must be reading and meditating and hearing again and again the words of our Redeemer. Then the third step, praying in the Spirit. Well, Pastor, can I just jump the last two and just pray in tongues? The the Word becomes the anchor of the soul. If you spend all your time praying in tongues without meditating the Word, pretty soon the devil starts talking to you. Why? Because you're pressing into the Spirit and anchored to truth, and you can be deceived and led astray. I've known of prayer meetings that started out praying in the Spirit and ended up praying in a demonic tongue because they became hungry for more spiritual things and would surrender to any spirit that was moving, and they got themselves a demon. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that could happen to me. Brother Kenneth Copeland read the story of the Lord appearing to Smith Wigglesworth, the Lord appearing to Kenneth Hagin, the Lord appearing to Oral Roberts. So he decided, I want the Lord to appear to me. And so he took 40 days off, went to his cabin in Arkansas, and began to pray that the Lord would appear to him. A few days into his prayer time, the Lord stopped him and said, Kenneth, if you don't stop this, you're going to see something, but it'll be the devil. Because you're not praying for my will for your life. You're praying for your will for your life, and you're leaving yourself open to the devil. If it could happen to Kenneth Copeland, can it happen to you? So there is a pairing. Why am I praying? I want to build myself up, but not just in miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to build myself up on the Word, and I do that by reading the Word and then praying in the Spirit. Reading the Word, praying in the Spirit. Reading the Word, praying in the Spirit. Well, Pastor, how do you do that? Father God, right here, I read your Word. It says, with his stripes I was healed. I'm not going to yield myself to your Spirit to pray in tongues so that you can show me how to walk in that divine life and health. I'm praying for the Word to be accomplished in my life. I'm not praying because I want to work miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to bring the prophecy that's going to change the world. I want to become Elisha or Elijah. No, I'm praying because I want your will done. Yes. I see here that your Word says you supply all my needs. Now I'm going to pray in the Spirit so you can open the eyes of my understanding to see the supply you've already accomplished for me, because if it's in your Word, the supply is already out there. I haven't seen it yet because my spiritual insight hadn't been opened up to see what you've already provided for me. Word and Spirit, growth and power development. When the Word and the Spirit come together, you have growth and power development. To perform the miracles of the New Covenant, one needs the Word of the New Covenant directing their every impulse. I think I'm supposed to go there and pray for that person. Is that what you think, or is that what the Spirit's leading you to do? Be diligent. Another translation says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Be diligent through your study to present yourself approved unto God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why would I be ashamed? I don't know what promise of God applies to this situation. But if I've studied to show myself approved, then my spirit man will tell me what scripture applies this, not my mental man who says, you know, I think you need to read. Rightly dividing or applying the Word of truth. Apply the Word that belongs in that situation, because the Spirit reminds you of the verse, of the passage, of the promise that belongs in that situation. Ashamed for not knowing what word of the new covenant applies. Dividing, applying the portion of Scripture that pertains to the challenge at hand. It's not enough to quote a word. It needs to be the word that applies. The word of truth. What is the word of truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through the truth. Lord Jesus, Yeshua, anointed Redeemer, your word is truth. It is His word that needs to wash us. Not, well, I like the story of Moses in the wilderness. I like the story of Abram on the mountaintop. I like the story of Caleb ready to go fight giants. Well, those are all good, but it's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, spoken by Him or by His apostles, that brings you to truth. The extended Bible says, make them ready for your service. Sanctify them, consecrate them, setting them apart for service. That's what it's all about. Doing the works He did. Through your truth, your teaching of the Word is truth. Miracles, signs, and wonders can occur for or to you, but not by or with you till you are aligned with truth. Prayer alone, you blow up. Word alone, you dry up. Combined diligently, you grow up. Your word, O Lord, have I hidden through meditation in my heart, my spirit man, so that I, through compliance with it is written, might not sin, violate your will or purpose against you. Miracles, signs, and wonders can flow when you know Lordship and His truth. Church, are you getting anything? Do you see the pattern from the Word for preparing yourself for spiritual growth and development? Read the Word of the New Covenant. Meditate the Word of the New Covenant. Pray in the Spirit over that Word so it becomes engrafted to your heart, not your blood pump, your spirit man. Once the Word is one with you, you're not moved by every wind of doctrine that comes along. While part of the church is jumping, shouting, and running the aisles at some new revelation, you're going, that ain't God. The Word says, and that ain't what they're doing. The Spirit is quickening me. This is not God. I have had to walk out of meetings because it wasn't God. They got so far out there that I couldn't be in the room. But it was the truth I knew that separated me from getting caught up in that mess. You will know the truth, and the truth that you know will liberate you in the realm you know truth. God wants you free to flow in the miraculous and supernatural. Begin to work the formula I've given you tonight and prepare yourself to be compliant with this coming move of God. Church, it's coming. I want you hooked up with the truth, not led astray by false prophets, false doctrines, and false manifestations, because every great move of God is always preceded by a false move of Satan. Daddy God, we have delivered your word to your people. They have heard your word. They're being changed and transformed by it. Father God, I decree the blessings of the Lord are upon this people. And they become great in your sight, powerful in your purpose and used of you. Your anointing, your word, your spirit, your life, working in and through your people, generating your life in the earth, and showing forth your deeds till you come. And the people said, amen. Your love go with God.